All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sean Steele Law Firm podcast. I am your host, Mr. Alexander Eisner. I'm doing that just to mess with Mr. Sean Steele. We are also joined with Mr. Sean Steele, as always, wearing his Joe Biden glasses. We appreciate that. Today we have the honor of hearing from and being joined by an incredible chiropractor, someone who has not only dedicated his life to chiropractic, but also to furthering the profession as a whole. And we're going to get into that later on. He is a graduate of BYU, board certified diplomat, American Chiropractic and Neurology Board, and obviously doctor of chiropractic from Life West, our very own Lawrence Adams. Dr. Adams, thank you so, so much for being with us today.
Good to be with you.
Doctors, before we get started, a couple of preliminary things. You can either choose to think that I'm on the beach and the sun is intense, or that I may have had recent eye surgery and I'm wearing dark glasses so you don't get to see the full details of a recent bruise. Don't worry, the other guy looks much worse, but we're in good spirits. We're feeling well. Alex and I were just in Northern California. We were hoping to have a visit with Dr. Adams, but he is a real doctor, which means not only does he sit on the Board of Chiropractic Examiners, he actually sees patients. By the way, that's not always been the case. We've had doctors that have sat on the board that just don't like patients or people or chiropractors. But that's an old story. We're going to hear some really updates. But today we've asked Dr. Adams to join us because we're in a party mood. We're celebrating 100 years of legal chiropractic in California. It was almost 100 years ago that the voters voted two-thirds to create the chiropractic board, which is independent of the state legislature, by the way. One of the few medical professions, healthcare professions, that is carried and guaranteed protection in the California Constitution. So was it created by the governor? Was it created by the legislature? You know what, legislators creating anything. In fact, if they just never showed up at Sacramento, life would be better. But that's my opinion. In the meanwhile, the BCE is a big deal. They were created because chiropractors were going to jail by the thousands in the teens and in the early 20s. And finally, California had enough. Voters put together an initiative, got it on the ballot. The voters voted for it. And then the hundreds and hundreds of chiropractors that were in jail or had recently been in jail were pardoned by the governor. He was smart enough to see which way the wind was blowing. So this fine governor pardoned everybody in 1923, and this created an international movement to legalize chiropractic as an independent healthcare profession. I think that's exciting. I'm a student of history. I like that kind of stuff. A lot of folks don't get it, but you know what? We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them, the guys and the gals and gals, a lot of women. Chiropractic was more open to women than any other healthcare profession and still is. Sometimes you'll have classes where 50% of the students are females. I come from three generations of female chiropractors myself. But Dr. Adams, you're in effect are unofficially representing the board. You are vice chair of the board. There's a lot of exciting things that are going on. And so Alex and I got some provocative questions for you. But before we turn to you, because we only have 30 minutes, we end exactly on the dime at 1:30, and Alex is in charge of putting that together. Alex is going to tell you how you can hear this broadcast in the future, but also Golden Boy just had a bit of, shall we call it good luck?
We can call it good luck.
Alex just came back from a jury trial Monday last. He was just on a national Zoom symposium about how he and our and another law firm that we coupled up with got an $11 million verdict on a chiropractic case. And not only that, we have a new book we're springing to the world. Alex, tell us about your verdict, about the book, and let's start asking some questions about to Dr. Adams.
Yeah, we're 5 minutes into this podcast. We haven't even heard from our distinguished guest, but I will throw a couple of things out there on that subject. We did get a fantastic verdict for a incredibly deserving client. That was referred to us by an incredibly caring and thoughtful chiropractor who not only did a great job treating this patient, but also did a great job of directing the treatment, quarterbacking the care. And we're very thankful that she got the case to us. We hope that we were good custodians of that person's case and the chiropractor's care needless to say, this chiropractor will be receiving 100% of her bill, which of course is the applause line. But I wanted to comment on that. And that was a great result. We had a lot of fun putting that trial on. So thanks for giving me the opportunity to say that, Sean. I appreciate that. We do have a book coming out. I do want to plug the book. Normally I would have waited to the end, but Sean gave me the opportunity, so I'm going to jump through it. It is called The Intelligent Chiropractor's Guide to Survival. And it is an A to Z desk reference / novel. You can be read cover to cover or as a reference guide, but it is the Bible for PI and chiropractors in the world of PI. And it is just, we've spent years writing it, literally years writing and rewriting this book. It is nearly 50 years in the making of combined experience in going into this book. I think every chiropractor should own a copy of it. It's going to be available for sale starting September 20th. So that is coming up next Tuesday, very, very soon, less than a week away. We're very excited. So check that out. September 20th, if you go on Amazon, it'll be available. I think there's a special price for the first day it's available. So I really want to put,
isn't there a website too? To avoid the monopoly of Amazon?
There will be a website. It's not live yet. It should be live in the next couple of days. IntelligentChiro.com will be the website, but it's not live yet. So you can write that down and prepare yourself. IntelligentChiro.com. We also have a wait list for the book if you want to be the first on the list of people to get the book.
Will you and I autograph the first few advanced copies?
We certainly will autograph copies. I don't know how we'll do that with Amazon, but we can work it out. Jeff Bezos, I have him on speed dial, so he and I will figure out how to get autograph copies in everybody's hands. If you get a copy and it's not autographed and you want it to be, you just send it to us and we will autograph it, send it back. Or come to one of our live seminars and we'll autograph it there for you. That would be fantastic as well. But now that we've gotten all that out of the way, and at the end of the broadcast, I will talk a little bit about how you could hear this if you're not one of the people listening live right now. Dr. Adams, thank you for being with us. Thank you for spending your time. I don't know if it's a volunteer gig or I'm sure they don't pay you enough if it isn't to sit on the chiropractic board, the board of examiners. But why don't you start by just giving us a little overview of what is it actually like? I mean, everybody sort of has, I certainly view the chiropractic board a little bit like the state bar in that there's sort of a scary government style oversight board. I imagine it's not as scary in real life as we all make it out to be. Give us a little behind the scenes. What's it like to really serve?
Well, thank you again for having me. And congratulations on your verdict and on your upcoming book coming out. That's exciting stuff. And I hope I get a signed copy from you guys as a gift for my time here today, perhaps.
Sure.
I've been on the board since October of 2020, and I too had, you know, kind of a different understanding about the board than what I now have as a member of the board. And it's not a scary thing. Our whole goal, we're tasked as a board to primarily protect the public. That's our primary directive, and we do that through licensure, through education, and through enforcement is how we word that when we begin each public meeting. And as a member of the board, our roles vary. We have committees that we serve on. I happen to serve on the enforcement committee as well as the continuing education committee. And then we have government committees. And then we have a new committee for licensure. So we're really about helping the profession. I think one of the history of the board has, as Sean alluded to at the beginning, has had, you know, kind of its ups and downs over the years. And there's been that opinion that it was perhaps a little bit more punitive. And we're wanting to change that. The board that we're on now is very young. I'm the second longest serving member of the board, and I've only been on for 2.5 years. Actually, not even 2 years. What am I saying? A year and a half. And our chairman, Dr. Paris, has only been on the board for about 4 years. So we're very young. We're very excited. And I think we're getting a lot of things moving in the right direction. One of our primary goals is to start having more outreach and more communication with our licensees and our stakeholders. to assist them in that, in what it is that we do and how we can and help move chiropractic forward. Chiropractic, unfortunately, in the last decade is the only discipline, healthcare discipline in the state of California that is reducing in number. And that's kind of a sad aspect. There's multiple reasons for that, economic as well as other aspects. But we want to see that change. And we think that by having more outreach and helping chiropractors understand, you know, really how valuable they are in their communities can go a long way for that. So it's not scary. The probably the scariest thing that the board does is that we do from time to time have to preside over what we call petitioner hearings, where people that have been disciplined in the past are trying to get their license back or trying to get taken off probation, you know, early to have their license fully restored. And we take that very, very serious because we realize these people have done everything they can to get themselves back to a place of good grace. And striving to do the right things after having made some poor decisions in the past. And sometimes that's hard because, you know, we realize that some people aren't ready yet, haven't done enough, and then there are people that are. And so that's probably the scariest thing we do.
So Dr. Adams, here's something that's been on my mind because Sean and I have taught ethics and law, and we've been approved to teach ethics and law for continuing ed for chiropractors for years now, and tour around California teaching ethics and law. And I feel fairly well acquainted with the board's rules. But when I teach that subject, we get a lot of chiropractors that are just scared to death of violating a rule, particularly unprofessional conduct, but some of the others as well, accidentally. These are good docs, the ones that show up and really want to learn. These are good docs, right? They're not the ones intentionally breaking rules about, you know, some of the more obvious things that, like, well, the only way to really mess that up is on purpose. These are docs who are worried about making mistakes on accident. So my question to you is, what are you seeing doctors mess up on accident that gets them in front of you or in front of the enforcement committee or with their license, you know, on shaky ground? I mean, what are some of the things that you see that you're like, man, that doc, you know, didn't know that they were stepping in it when they stepped in it. And if only doctors knew about this, they could maybe avoid some of these pitfalls.
You know, that's a great question. So the biggest thing that we find, and you got to distinguish, there's accidental mistakes. And certainly when the investigation happens, if something's brought to the board's attention, a lot of that stuff never comes to us until until it's something that's intentional. Accidental stuff a lot of times gets worked out really at that early level. And we're trying to do more of that, what we call desk resolution of these violations, where someone is either, hey, you know, just clean it up and do better. Sometimes they, you know, there's a fine that's given, you know, kind of a slap on the hand type fine. But when people are doing something accidentally and just don't know, you know, a lot of times that's just worked out at a level, and you know when somebody's, you know, not intentionally doing something. And so a lot of those just get handled by the enforcement, you know, investigators and workers and analysts at the board level. But probably the biggest thing that we see is from a violation standpoint is people that are not keeping good records. They don't keep good records. And so what happens is they have something happen where they've billed something and there's been a dispute over a bill and then the records are requested. And then all of a sudden there's a whole flood of other things that the board is dealing with because somebody didn't keep their good soap notes, didn't, you know, do informed consent, didn't, you know, write down certain aspects of the soap process. And so then they kind of get other things kind of tacked on. And I understand that's a real fear for people. One of our things we're going to start doing is an outreach is that we're going to start getting into the schools and visiting with seniors that are about to graduate and go over the top 10 violations that they're dealing with so that they know when they come out, you know, what they're taught in the schools, if they were to continue to do exams and keep records like they do in school, they're going to be okay. The problem is that they get busy. You know, when you're in clinic in chiropractic school, your goal is to see, you know, 500 people over a year. Well, when you get busy in practice, if you're only seeing 500 people in a year, you're probably going to have a hard time making it in practice. So you're seeing more numbers. And so things start to, corners get cut and mistakes get made. And then when you get a request of your records to the board and you don't have your ducks in a row, then you're going to be, and those are the things we see, record keeping, less so, but, you know, it does happen, is billing issues or advertisement issues, false advertising, or not knowing that you got to put DSA when you put your name in there. You can't just put doctor, you know, you have to make sure that people know you're a doctor of chiropractic or a DC. But those are minor things that usually get handled at the investigation level and handled very easily.
I appreciate you saying all that. I think that we talk about that stuff a lot, the putting stuff on your website that's nebulous, you know, the billing and I mean, we leave a lot of that to Sam Collins, who knows way more about that stuff than we do, but making sure that your billing and your ducks are in a row with record keeping. You know, I mean, where do a lot of these complaints come from? I'm guessing is from disgruntled patients, right? Disgruntled patients that will bring something to the board's attention and that'll cause the initial investigation to happen. And so what can you do to avoid a disgruntled patient? Well, you know, you don't want to have issues where if they request their medical records, I mean, legally, they're required to get them within 15 days. Well, if you are A, not keeping good records, or B, not able to wanting to produce the records, you're going to create a disgruntled client who's got pretty good grounds under the Business and Professions Code to send a complaint to the state board. And now everything you're doing, it's like an IRS audit. Everything, now everything's fair game to be looked at. Well, why aren't you doing these records? Why aren't you documenting necessity for treatment? Why aren't you? I mean, we see a lot of that happening, and we lecture about that in our continuing ed classes. But it's great to hear you talk about it too, because you know, I think a lot of the docs, like I was saying, have their hearts in the right place and they want to be helping people. And a lot of times they see some of the paperwork as unnecessary or sitting in the way of them doing their jobs, which is adjusting patients and making them feel better. And, you know, I'm not to put words in your mouth, but the paperwork's important. I mean, making sure that those papers are in a row is not just something you do for school purposes. It's something that we do to protect ourselves, to protect our patients, to make sure that, you know, that the necessity really was there for that treatment, or that the condition is being followed over a long period of time. We can see that change and that growth. And I mean, that there's good reasons to keep these records other than just, you know, for enforcement purposes. And you know, so I think that's, you're right, that people get busy and that those corners get cut.
Alex, let me jump in on, we only have a few minutes. One doctor mentions that's on the chat line right now, says, well, you know, what is this to protect the public from chiropractors? And I served on the acupuncture board. I was chairman for 2 years, and that really bothered me initially. You know, we're only here, you know, we're the policemen for the acupuncturist to protect the poor public. And the doctor's question is a valid one, saying, well, yeah, what about the rapacious attorneys and the insurance companies that are cheating, lying, and taking advantage of us? Shouldn't the board be doing something about that? Well, no, not under the law, not with state associations like this throughout the country. The bar regulates attorneys. The dental board regulates dentists, the cosmetology board, and so on. And so there has to be somebody, you know, keeping track, and it's much better having a chiropractor looking at a chiropractor than a medical doctor. Some states, by the way, still have the chiropractic doctor licensed under a medical authority, although they're an independent profession. So you don't want somebody that's in a hostile neighborhood. So it's an irritation. But I also believe, and this is not what the Department of Consumer Affairs wants us to say, and I'm a former member, so I can say whatever I want. I think we also should be advancing the profession. And I think if you have a healthy profession, you advance it. Dr. Adams, you're talking about actually going to the colleges.
Yes.
What do you mean by that? The board's never done that before. You approve of the colleges. You approve of their hours. You approve of their curriculum. You have legal authority over the chiropractic colleges. We have 3 in California. How would you go to the classroom?
Well, actually, the board has in the past started doing some board meetings at chiropractic schools, which enables the students to attend the actual open portion of the meeting, which has been great. And we're going to get back to doing that. COVID put a kind of a damper on that, but we're going to be getting back to that. So we're probably going to be meeting in the fall of 2023 is going to be down in Southern California at the college there. At least that's the hope. And that will allow the students of the college to attend the open meeting and to actually hear petitioners and kind of get an idea of what some people are going. I mean, it's a hard thing to watch when somebody's a petitioner, you know, begging for their license back in a sense. But it's a good thing for new incoming chiropractors to see, hey, you don't want to jeopardize, you know, you're a student, you come out of school with, sometimes up to a couple $100,000 in debt. You know, you don't want to jeopardize your ability to practice by doing something, you know, that you could avoid by just, you know, crossing your T's, dotting your I's, and know what those regulations are. So we see it as an important outreach for board members to go in and get an opportunity to sit with these seniors and answer questions that they have, so that they don't have this, you know, like as Alex alluded to, you know, this big bad board up there that's going to slap my hand every time I turn left or right. We don't want that. We want them to know that we want chiropractors to be thriving, to be successful, but we also want them to follow the rules. And for example, you know, sexual misconduct is another thing that happens. And a lot of it happens, you know, as a consequence to misunderstandings. And unfortunately, a misunderstanding that doesn't get handled properly can lead to a person losing their license and having to, you know, or to not be able to practice freely, to have somebody with them all the time whenever they're adjusting a female patient or a male patient, depending on the accusation. But if we are, as chiropractors, communicating what it is that we do and that we are a hands-on profession and we are going to be touching parts of your body when we adjust you, that if you know in advance the reason that area might be adjusted and there's cause for it and there's relationship with the outcome you're trying to, and you communicate that, then you're going to see a lot less of these confusions and concerns and a lot of time and energy and money being spent on these types of issues. And we want everybody to be successful and to avoid those pitfalls. And so the more that we can get in there and talk about people, to students and, you know, early chiropractors, can be beneficial for helping them understand what it is that they need to be, rules they need to be following that are the top 10 kind of missteps that we see often.
I'd like to see those top 10 missteps if you could send us a copy, we'll publish it. We may add it onto the podcast. And a couple of other thoughts. If you look at the original act of 1922, there are several things that chiropractors in 1922 put on the ballot. And one of them is that they will discipline a chiropractor who is involved in
habitual intemperance with ardent spirits.
Yeah, with ardent spirits. And also there's a prohibition against using narcotics. And there was also a prohibition about claiming to treat men for lost manhood. I mean, bizarre stuff. I mean, I've heard a lot of things, but I don't know of a single chiropractor, although I think in this day and age, we probably could use some chiropractors that could do that, but it's illegal. You can't help a man for lost manhood. That you send him to a lost manhood specialist, I suppose. Right. But chiropractors don't do that. And your idea of going to the college is great. We did that at Royal College for an acupuncture school. I think being on the campus is terribly important. And then a final comment, because we're really running out of time. I want you to talk about some of the changes that you see anticipated for the board in the next 5 years. There's some substantial rule changes that will be impacting every chiropractor. And so what's coming around the corner?
Well, one of most exciting, I think it's exciting, is that we're going to be, we've implemented and voted on, and it's already come out of the full board. So it's in the process of being legally written and then handled, is that Zoom will become a permanent option for live CE. So people will still be able to do CE live, you know, and get credit for it, but they'll also have Zoom be live as well. So that's something that's coming down the pipe, probably in the next 4 to 6 months will be implemented.
Does that mean that all of their live required hours can be done via Zoom? That there's no in-person requirement?
Yeah, that live or in-person would be considered the same. I mean, live via Zoom, you know, what they call synchronous learning,
yeah,
versus asynchronous or on-demand learning, that's still considered to be, you know, not live. And so, and you'll be able to get 12 of your hours through that. But through Zoom, you'll be able to have 12 of your hours considered to be the same as if you were in person.
So Alex, if I heard that right, you still have to show up and see, be in a room for 12 hours a year.
So you can be in your home watching and participating via Zoom.
100% of the time.
Well, you can do the other part. You can do 12 hours on demand, or you could do 24 hours via Zoom.
Okay, so no except more live seminars.
Right now, except for right now, a technique will have to be in person.
Ah, so, and you're changing the requirements of the core courses.
Well, that's not finalized yet, but it's in the process of we're going to be probably, it will likely come out of committee here fairly soon, that we're going to be updating the CE requirements. It'll still be 24 hours, but the required was going to probably move up from the 6 to 10 to 12. And they're going to be separated into four kind of core areas, having to do with record keeping, ethics, examination, and evaluation, and management, as well as technique.
And ethics.
Ethics is always going to be there. So ethics, record keeping. So there'll be a couple hours of ethics, then there'll be record keeping. The hours I don't have specifics on yet, but it's going to be somewhere between 10 and 12 hours of required time out of that 24. Instead of right now, you have 2 hours of ethics required, and then you have 4 hours of exam, or 4 hours of technique, or 4 hours of billing that are optioned, you know, 4, 4, 4 in those areas, you know, bringing you to 6 hours of total time out of the 24 that's required. So we're going to make, you know, record keeping and ethics and examination and evaluation and management aspects, as well as technique, required, because we think that's important every year for people to be on top of those. And that reflects what have been the top 10 violations are in those particular areas. So we're going to be, making that a point, so that every year chiropractors are reviewing and being brought up to speed on current regulations, if there's changes in the regulations, as we're updating enforcement regulations. So those things in the next 2 to 3 years, going to be a lot of stuff coming out of the board that is going to really be updating. Like you alluded to, things in the act that are kind of arcane or don't really make sense today. And so some of those things are going to be cleaned up and made more clear or more modernized in their language.
A regulatory agency modernizing is like a jumbo shrimp. It's like a contradiction in terms.
Dr.
Adams, I want to thank you for being here. It was very quick, and I have 100 more questions for you, especially as particularly in the weed stuff about how the board chose to put this in and not that in. But we'll have to save those for another day. And I do want to invite you to come in November. We have our annual seminar in Los Angeles at the Westin and LAX. It's our 8-hour seminar. I don't know that you really require any continuing education per se, but I will tell you that the speaker lineup this year is going to be spectacular, and we anticipate, with obviously your approval, 8 hours of continuing education that day. So that will be a phenomenal day of speakers. But if you are capable of coming, you certainly would be our guest at the event, and we could use you to answer some questions and do some board outreach, help change the image of that board. I do want to thank you again for coming. I want to let people listening know where they can hear this.
Alex, I thought you were going to be hosting a party or something.
Oh, there's so many good things in so little time. 60 seconds I have left. Oh, so to celebrate the 100th year of the Chiropractic Act, the anniversary, we are hosting a huge party at the CCA. So to answer somebody's question earlier about who's looking out for me, I'm the chiropractor, nobody's looking out for me. California Chiropractic Association is looking out for you in California. There are similar organizations in other states, but in California, CCA, they're holding their annual convention, their fall convention at the Estancia Hotel in La Jolla, the last weekend of September into October, 29, 30, and then 1 and 2 October. And on September 30th in the evening, we are hosting a huge party. It's the only thing going on that night. So if you're there for the convention, you'll be, you should come. It's free, free drinks, free food. It's going to be a lot of fun. But we are truly celebrating the 100th year anniversary of the Chiropractic Act, which we believe led the way, paved the way for chiropractic in this country. And a lot of other countries actually use that as an example, as a model. So that we're very happy about that. We hope everybody can come out. If you are not listening live, this can be listened to as our podcast on iTunes, Audible, anywhere else that podcasts are available. Usually the day after the event, it's going to go up. It's also, the video from this is available on YouTube, Sean Steele Law Firm YouTube channel. You can find the video from this so you can see Sean in his glasses and all of his glory. And that's it. Thank you guys so much. The book's coming out. Jesus, I got so much to talk about. The book's coming out September 20th, Amazon.com. It's also intelligentchiro.com is going to be up and live in a couple of days. So if you want to check out the book, highly recommend it. Oh, Sean, am I missing anything?
Yeah, you're missing a whole lot of stuff, but I want to thank Dr. Adams particularly. He's a CCA member. He was a leader in the CCA. He goes to CCA meetings. I mean, this business that the profession, that the board is not connected to the profession is not true. I know this for a fact. I remember just not too far ago where there were several people on the board that were just not friendly at all, and they thought they had to be policemen with a bully club. Dr. Adams is an includer. I think this is healthy for chiropractic. And I think this is the kind of message we want to share with for the entire profession. So, Doctor, it's a great honor and thrill having you here today. We look forward to seeing you. We'd like to have you again because we just scratched the surface. And I know I'm getting a lot of emails right now asking me questions that I can't. We've run out of time to even ask you. So, but we'll continue to do it. Any questions for Dr. Adams, just contact me, Sean Steele at SeanSteele.com, and I'll forward it to him.
Thank you. So much, thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. And I look forward to coming back in the future. And I won't be at the CCA meeting. I'll be presenting a paper in a conference in North Carolina that weekend. But I'll try to get down there in November. Thanks for having me. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.